This is the Venturing Angler podcast, sponsored by Nautilus Reels, and it is tested on animals. This is Tim Harden of the Venturing Angler. Today's show is on preparing for a saltwater fly fishing trip. It's rare, I think, that we'll have episodes in which I'm the only speaker. But in this case, I think I've got some things worth sharing about preparing for saltwater fly fishing trips. Both through trial and error, I think, learned about how I'd like to prepare for trips. And so I've broken down this episode into 10 tips for getting ready for a salty trip. So let's look at first preparing your casting. A lot of the tips are going to have to do with casting, but I think each of them is important and worth looking at separately. One of the first pieces of advice I was given by a captain in Florida was to practice casting at short distances. That's tip number one, work on accuracy at short distances. I think I'd been fly fishing for about 15 years. Many times a year. I was always on the water for much of those years. Thinking on rivers, fly fishing for trout, I think that the idea of practicing quick short casts was not high on my priority list when getting ready for a saltwater trip. So when a friend said, work on your accuracy at short distances, I kind of undermined that advice, didn't take seriously how valuable that it might be. But it's critical. A lot of fish like permit, cruising tarpon, fish busting bait and blue water, they are going to test you at short distances. In the Keys, last year, I had shots at permit, and when I was preparing for the trip, I imagined I was going to be casting to some tailing permit that might be 90 feet in the wind. That's what I thought my practice needed to focus on, but in fact, all shots at permit were right in front of me. Fish cruising at 20 or 30 feet, captain says, permit 10 o'clock, and in that much time, I've blown the opportunity to catch a permit. In one case, a permit was enormous, and it was with a few other fish. I had literally seconds to transmit what the guide was saying as far as where the fish was, permit 30 feet, 10 o'clock, for example, get the fly out of my hand and get the fly to the fish and pick it off as it was cruising. The same thing has happened with me with tarpon, with false albies. Accuracy at short distance is something that seems like the last thing you need to work on, but it might be the most important. And there's nothing, I think, more devastating on the flats than blowing it to a permit or a tarpon that's right in front of you. That's tip number one. Tip number two is practice the quick cast. There's some decent YouTube videos. A lot of people have put saltwater quick cast videos on YouTube. Again, this is something that might seem simple, but it's difficult. The key, and I'll rely on Vimeo or YouTube for your visuals on this, but your guide is almost certainly going to insist that you have your fly in your hand or near your opposite hand, like the hand that's opposite of your casting hand. And then your line is going to be off of your reel. I don't know how much your guide is going to want you to have off, but I always had at least 40 to 80 feet of line in a coil or in the basket or something, because again, like with that last tip, if you have a quick shot at fish, you do not have time to pull the line off of your reel while you're false casting. In many cases, there isn't enough opportunity to false cast at all. And often as well, false casting will spook the fish that you're targeting in clear water. So practice that saltwater quick cast, because what's going to happen, your guide most likely is going to be hoping and then relying on the fact that you're able to load your rod and fire off a good bit of line quickly, and with maybe one or two false casts. Number three, your over the shoulder cast. Imagine yourself standing on the bow of a boat. You're ready to cast anywhere from 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock. It might be quite difficult for you to cast normally at noon to 3 o'clock. Oftentimes, depending on where the guide is, or if it's windy, throwing a back cast could be a problem. In narrow mangroves, you might not have the opportunity to really throw it directly behind you either. So over-the-shoulder casts are really important. They're sometimes easy, sometimes difficult. You need to work on consistency. But if your guide says that there's a tarpon at 2 o'clock, you need to make sure that you're able to be accurate and put some distance out there with going over your opposite shoulder. Next, and this one you've probably thought of already, but practice casting in the wind and practice casting with a heavy fly. I live near the Golden Gate Angling and Casting Club in San Francisco. Before I decide to go up there every day, I usually see how much wind there is. If it's more than 5 miles per hour, 6 miles per hour, sometimes I stay at home. When I'm working on fundamentals or overcoming bad habits or what have you, I don't want wind to throw off my practice. However, when getting ready for a saltwater trip, you have to prepare yourself to be casting in the wind. And when it's windy, sometimes you need to cast differently. So I recommend practicing in windy conditions once you've got everything else worked out as far as habits and fundamentals. Get out in the wind. Practice in the wind. Also practice with a heavy fly. There's a good chance that the fly you're going to be throwing is heavy enough that it slightly changes how you're casting. So it's good to not just wait for the trip to work on casting heavier flies. For me personally, I've been avoiding windy days, practicing casting. I've got a trip in 5 weeks, and now I'm going to be casting no matter the winds when I go practice. The next tip is distance. And so this is also one that's probably been considered. Before I started fly fishing in the salt, I always heard about people saying, you know, there's a bonefish at 90 feet in the wind, and it's a tailing bonefish, you've got to get your fly to it. And those situations present themselves, and you have to be ready for those. This is what you might see represented in a magazine or a poster with beautiful distance cast in the Keys or the flats somewhere. And this is something that is important to practice. The guide might spend a lot of time trying to find fish, and if you're able to present well to spooky fish in the flats at a good distance, it's going to help you out a lot. Next tip, I call it clocking. I don't know if there's a term for it at all, but maybe the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me on a saltwater trip, and it's happened more than once, and I don't think it's an experience that I don't think I'm the only one who's had this experience, is when your guide says cast, you know, certain distance at 10 o'clock, and then you cast at 2 o'clock. There's certainly been times where I have to hesitate to think about what the guide means when he says this. There's no time for that. The last thing I want from here on out on a saltwater trip is to think about what somebody means when they give me a time like 9, 10, 11, noon, 1, 2, 3. I can't think about that anymore. That hesitation in which you're thinking about it, which then leads to getting your cast ready, is the stuff that is crucial to eliminate before a saltwater trip. And so one thing I like to do when I'm practicing my casting, when I'm on the bow of the boat at the beginning of the day, or even you could do it when you're walking around the grocery store or driving, is to just think in your head, 9, 10, 11, noon, 1, 2, 3, and then look at those destinations. Think 11, look to 11, think 2, look to 2. Mix it up in that way so that it becomes almost habit or such a routine that you don't have to think anymore. So you could think 3, you look 3, you think 10, you look 10, and there's not that hesitation of thinking about which direction is which. It seems so elementary, but when you see a 100-pound tarpon that you've been looking for hours in the Keys, and your guide says 1 o'clock, and at first you look 11, it's not only embarrassing, but it's something that might keep you from getting a good shot at that fish. The next tip, number 7, is on hook setting. There's been a lot of images on social media of guides poking fun at people who trout set in the salt. We've all done it. If you were fly fishing like me for 15 years, you had a certain way of setting the hook. Then you get into the salt water, and it's an exciting experience when you have the opportunity to set a hook on a fish. But if you trout set, there's a good chance you're going to miss the fish. And there could be a number of reasons why this is the case. For example, the way the fish takes the fly, the shape of the mouth of the fish, where the best spot in the fish to set the hook is. But generally, you want to go off to the side rather than trout set. So set the hook to the side. This is something you can practice. If you have some water near you or casting ponds, when you're picking up your fly for another cast, sometimes do the saltwater hook set rather than rather than lift your rod vertically. It's a habit that takes very little to eliminate, but it does sometimes take some actual practice. Number 8 is knots. Oftentimes, if you're being guided, your guide's going to tie your fly on. But there's other times where there could be a lot going on, and you want to be able to tie some good secure knots. You might be rigging up another rod for another situation. You might be fishing on your own. Knots in saltwater are critically important because the fish fight hard, and you don't want your knot to fail. Know your knots. Oftentimes, I shouldn't say often, but sometimes there could be enough going on. You get to a new spot, something changes in the conditions. Maybe a new species of fish cruises in, and your guide's distracted doing something else. Setting the boat or anchoring the boat, and you might want to tie your fly on yourself. Know the best saltwater knots and practice those. Again, YouTube and Vimeo have many, many tutorials for the best saltwater knots. Number 9, and this is something that might make more sense if you practice it because it seems, again, so simple. Learn to strip fast. Especially in blue water, It can actually be kind of tricky to very, very, very quickly strip line to get that fly moving. If a fish is busting the surface and you're throwing a heavy line and want to get a lot of action out of that fly, it can actually be hard. And some blue water guys especially have strategies for stripping their fly, their line. Like where you put your thumb, for example, or other factors that might allow you to have a more aggressive action in the movement of the fly based on how you're stripping. If you throw a lot of line out somewhere, even if it's in the backyard, try stripping quickly. It's difficult, and sometimes if you don't strip well, if you will, it's hard to consistently grab that line while focusing forward, not looking at the line. It's hard to consistently grab that line and strip it without missing or not consistently grabbing the line in a great place or where you want it. For that consistency, practice makes perfect, and it'll translate to more success on the water. Last tip, and it's quite a different tip. Tip number 10, get advice or be cautious about booking your hotel. Sometimes you might be at a lodge, and so that wouldn't apply. The lodge has the guide service that's taking you out on the water. But I've also learned through mistake that what looks like on Google Maps, for example, like the best hotel option, might not be. I guided in Colorado for a long time, and trips went out from 8 to 4. This happens a lot in the Rockies. I expected one of my first saltwater trips that my guide would want me to meet at 8 o'clock or maybe around that time. He was in the Everglades. I was staying in the Keys. It made sense to me. They were only a couple hours apart. It'd be fine to stay in the Keys and then meet him in the Everglades. But saltwater trips often depend a great deal on tides. And so my guide wanted to meet me at 6 in the morning. And so if I'm having to leave at 4 or earlier to meet him, it sort of changes the day a little bit. So with saltwater trips, especially if you're going to different spots like in Florida or in any place where there's a great deal of coastal access, or even on a vacation that you want to get guided, and you think it's relatively close, like you're flying from Seattle to South Carolina, and you know that Myrtle Beach or Georgetown or Charleston are all close to where you're going. They might be close compared to the distance between Seattle and South Carolina, but if you're traveling a couple of hours and you're getting out at the crack of dawn, those couple of hours could be something that you might want to cut out of the trip. So talk to your guide or lodge, most likely not lodge, but talk to your guide, talk to others who have taken similar trips, inquire at least around as to where the best place to stay might be. So those are 10 tips for preparing for a saltwater fly fishing trip. If you have a chance to get into salt, I love it. It's a blast. It's thrilling. And it's something I've done many, many, many times. But no matter what, when I'm getting ready for a trip, those are things that I'm going to practice, even though I've been out in the salt a lot. I think if I can get those skills sharp every time I go, it's going to translate to more fish.